All right. When I say radical, you say monarch. Radical.
Monarch.
Radical.
Monarch.
One, two, three. Radical.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Founded in 2014 in Oakland, California, by two queer women of color as a social justice alternative to other scouting organizations, the Radical Monarchs create an opportunity for young girls of color to gather and grow together while celebrating their identities and contributing to their communities. The documentary film We Are the Radical Monarchs will screen at Images Cinema in Williamstown, Massachusetts at 7 p.m. on Monday, January 13th. Linda Goldstein-Knowlton is the director and co-producer of the film, and she joins us now. Goldstein-Knowlton is an Emmy-nominated filmmaker whose projects include Women in Hollywood, one of 6 one-hour documentaries for the Emmy-nominated PBS Makers, Women Who Make America series. Prior to that, she produced Code Black and Somewhere Between. For her directorial debut, Linda co-directed The World According to Sesame Street, which debuted at the 2006 Sundance Film Festival. She started her career producing feature films, including the award-winning Whale Rider and The Shipping News. With Katie Flint, she runs the independent production company Ladylike Films. Linda Goldstein-Knowlton, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
How did you discover the Radical Monarchs and decide to make a documentary about them?
Well, they were founded in late 2014, and just a couple months later, in early 2015, they got a lot of press attention. They marched in the first Black Lives Matter march in Oakland, and a lot of people covered them. And I read one of those articles online. It was in The Guardian, and the headline was something like, Radical Girl Troops. And I just thought, what is that? I need to know. My company is called Ladylike Films, and girls and women and empowerment is almost always my focus. So I read this article and I thought, I need to meet these people. What is this group about? Who are the co-founders? They're the most intentional people. And I need to follow them.
How did you reach out to them and how receptive were they to the idea of a film being made about them?
Well, it's funny you ask, because I, you know, immediately reached out on their website and I didn't hear anything. I said, yeah, I'm a filmmaker in Los Angeles and very interested in talking to you. And then I didn't hear. And what I didn't realize was that because of all of this press, they were inundated, not just, you know, by press, but they were inundated by people making requests from over 200 cities across the country for troops and from 18 different countries. So it's these two women who have full-time jobs and families and had started this organization, and they were just inundated. So I did follow up, and then eventually they responded because they were like combing through their, you know, crazy inbox. And then I flew up to Oakland to meet with them in person.
Tell us more about the two co-founders.
So the two co-founders, Ana Yvette Martinez and Marilyn Hollenquest, are, like I said, two of the most intentional people I've ever met in my life. They are brilliant and full of joy. And they met in a grad program at San Francisco State, and they had so much in alignment. And then, as strangely as it was, and they found out that they had the same birthday, same day, same year.
Right.
And they just really clicked. They really connected, and both worked with youth programs and were teachers. And Ana Yvette still has a daughter, Lupita. And when Lupita was in fourth grade, she wanted to join the Girl Scouts. She wanted to join a friend's troop. And Ana Yvette said, you know, I just don't know that this troop is going to really center your experience as a young girl of color. And I don't want you to just have diversity day. And kind of off the cuff, Ana Yvette said, well, what if I started something for you? And Lupita's eyes just, you know, popped open, and she's like, oh my God, yes, yes, yes. And so Lupita kept asking her about it. And Ana Yvette reached out to Marilyn because she knew that she couldn't do this by herself. And they just launched it. They started it. They had a lot of, like I said, a lot of experiences with curriculum for youth in multiple topics. And so they started this group, and it was for 12 girls in Oakland. And then again, once they got all this media attention, it's almost like they started this small group. They were filling a need, putting on a play in their backyard. And then when they got all of this attention, there's such a need for this type of programming that they got tapped on the shoulder to say, you can't do something this small, you need to start a movement. And the film follows them rising to the occasion to do that.
And they are, as you said, they're very centered and focused, but also fairly overwhelmed, reasonably so, by the amount of attention for a lot of the time, because they have built this solid thing, but it is very difficult to scale up something like this.
Yeah, they learned a lot, as they like to say. They had a lot of learnings with trying to launch the second troop. And as a testament to who they are and how they process information and how they grow, they have just launched 4 new troops in the Bay Area. So 2 in Oakland, 1 in San Francisco, and I want to say 1 in Richmond, and I know Berkeley is on the way. So they learned while doing, you know, they stepped into the fire to learn and now know how to scale. So that's what they're working towards to scale across the country.
Tell us some more about what their programming is. They get the girls that are participating, the Radical Monarchs, get patches like other scout troops give out, but for a very different thing than normal Girl Scouts get patches for. Could you tell us about the programming
Sure.
and what the patches are for?
Yeah, they earn, the girls earn badges for issues of social justice and a centering of their experience. So they earn a Radical Beauty badge, which is learning to love who you are, the color of your skin, understanding that you may not see yourself in media all that often reflected, girls who look like you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those messages come across as, oh, well, I should look different. I should be different. I need to be part of the norm, you know, quote unquote norm. Of course, they're like, so sorry.
No, right. There are more brown people than white people in the world, but there's more white people on TV. One of the people in the movie.
Exactly. Exactly. So they also do a Radical Pride badge. And so with each badge unit, they start out with a grounding session and they work through, what do you know? What do you want to know? And then they reflect at the end, what did you learn? So like with Radical Pride, they start out with learning about the gender spectrum in a very age appropriate way. And then they always do different activities, and there's always an action of some type or another. So the girls march in the trans march every year in San Francisco. They do a Pachamama justice badge, which is an environmental justice badge. So Black Lives Matter, and they do a whole array of badges, and sometimes it changes. I think while they're scaling, they're going to keep it more regimented in a way, but I know that there's going to be some flexibility for the troops, but then also there's like the core badges.
I'm speaking with filmmaker Linda Goldstein-Knowlton about her documentary We Are the Radical Monarchs, which will screen at Images Cinema in Williamstown, Massachusetts on Monday at 7 p.m. She will join via Skype for a Q&A. You've mentioned that they are located in Oakland and they, you know, participate in events in San Francisco. Do you think that the location where they lived and where they are has made a difference in what they've been able to do or how people have responded to it? Is Oakland
yes.
and San Francisco important to the story?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's an area, the Bay Area, both cities, I can speak more to Oakland. It has a great history of social justice efforts and programs and leaders. So I think that people were incredibly receptive to being able to open up to these young women, to partner. They always partner with organizations in the community. And I think that it just makes so much sense. And it's so appropriate and very beautiful that the first troop started in Oakland. And now there's a lot of cities all around the country. I mean, there have been since the very beginning that want to have troops from major cities like Chicago and Los Angeles and New York to, you know, much smaller cities and towns all across the country, Canada, you know, the Midwest, the South. I mean, everybody has reached out to them.
How long were you working on the documentary, and did the story you wanted to tell with the film remain the same the whole time you were working on it, or did it evolve as the story evolved?
Yes, definitely evolved. We shot for 3.5 years, and I believe actually that all documentaries need to evolve, unless you're making a historical mm-hmm. scripted documentary, but I went in with a very different idea than the film became. I thought it would be very interesting to look at a year in the life of starting a new organization. Oh. And just, yeah. So very different than following for 3.5 years. But a couple things happened. One was I was diagnosed with breast cancer a month after I started the film. So it kind of pushed my process in a different way. And then also, as the story was moving forward and evolving, I realized, oh, it's not just a year in the life. It really is. If we're looking at the birth of a movement, what they hope is the birth of a movement, what I believe will be the birth of a movement, there really is this necessary time and growth. And it gave us this opportunity, turning into this natural arc of from the beginning to the first troop graduating, mm-hmm. of seeing the co-founders learn and grow, right? And then especially the girls. I mean, the girls started when they were eight or nine, and then seeing them blossom into young women and grow into their power. That was a really, really exciting opportunity to follow.
It's incredible how much they grow, how much they change in 3 years, which of course is true of most children physically. Those are big developmental years. You outgrow shoes every couple of weeks from what I understand, but but how strong and powerful they get, how much more they're willing to speak in the meetings. And you were able to capture that.
Absolutely. And one of my prime examples of watching the growth specifically of one young woman, Navia, she was so shy when we very first started, and she didn't want to look me in the eye during interviews. And I very much identified with her in a certain way. My daughter is very shy. Mm-hmm. And to watch her over these 3.5 years, so that by the end, when they go to Sacramento to advocate on behalf of their communities to the California legislature, right after that 2 days, I did a little follow-up interview, and I, you know, was asking each girl, how did that impact you? What did it open up for you? And Navia looked me right in the eye and said, I'm going to be governor of California. And like, I'm just like, you know, tears coming out of my, you know, mm-hmm. dripping down my face. And then that was in January. She graduated from middle school. And then when she started high school, she ran for class president and won.
Awesome.
And she's just the embodiment of powerful. And then when we've been on this year of film festivals, and there was a weekend where we were in 3 film festivals at the same time. So I sent Radical Monarchs in various areas where I couldn't be. And Navia and her mom went to the Seattle Film Festival, and she did the Q&As by herself. And, you know, to see where she started in her of who she was and how she grew, it's just she's so inspiring to me.
Yeah, nope, that's amazing. I want you to talk more about the trip to the California State House when they went to Sacramento. It seemed like it meant a lot to all of them and to the people that they interacted with there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was exciting to see on both sides, because these legislators of color, to see the next generation, I think it was just so inspirational for them, and to share knowledge and to see, wow, these young women are really prepared and truly are the, you know, the next leaders. And the girls were so excited to see people making an impact, people who look like them, and that there is a place and a space for them, and that there were opportunities there. I mean, that there are, you know, there are internships and all different kinds of things, and to really understand, oh, you know, one person working in that system can really make a difference for so many people.
I've never actually thought of that job. I've more like thought of just like the simple jobs, like being a veterinarian or a doctor. But then once I thought of like being a lawmaker, you're making a decision for so many people. I thought like that's actually pretty cool. And I'll think of in the future being an assembly person or a senator person.
You mentioned that after they were written about for marching in the march, there was a lot of attention. Of course, nothing positive gets to happen in a vacuum. There was also some negative attention that they received. Could you tell us about that and how it was processed by the founders, and if the girls knew about it?
Right. So they got a lot of, like you said, a lot of positive attention. And then they got a lot of negative attention from Fox News and Breitbart and a lot of right-wing media outlets, and then, you know, trolls on social media and all of that. And it was, I think for the co-founders, it was in a certain way not surprising, but the vehemence was a little bit shocking in terms of going after young kids and a program for young kids. That was pretty surprising. Most of the girls, I would say, maybe Lupita was the only one who really knew about it, but they didn't know. And a lot of the girls hadn't seen that coverage until they saw the finished film.
Oh.
Because they, you know, they were little,
yeah.
You know, and there's a certain point of, you know, when is it age appropriate to see, you know, adults being so hateful?
I realize as we're talking about this that because I have seen the film, I know what the tenor of the backlash was. But could you explain what the objections were from right-wing media?
Right. The objections were that the co-founders were being accused of indoctrinating children. And that also that this group was racist because it wouldn't allow girls who are white. And really, it's the complete opposite, which is that there are no spaces that center young girls of color experience and give them a safe place to form bonds and sisterhood. And the idea that there's any indoctrination, you know, it's the farthest thing from what's happening, because Anna Yvette and Marilyn really create an open, educating, critical thinking space for these girls. Like, it's a true teaching environment. So that was obviously misguided and hurtful. It was very, very hurtful. And also, Anna Yvette and Marilyn would get death threats, and they got a lot of threats of violence. And so they had to stop posting about their activities in real time, just to keep the safety of the girls and the group. And so that also felt like, you know, why is this, not why is this happening? They knew exactly why it was happening, but it was just, you know, upsetting. It was just upsetting that they had to do that.
You mentioned you've been showing the film for about a year now, and it will be screening at Images Cinema in Williamstown, Massachusetts on the 13th at 7 p.m. You will join for a Q&A via Skype after that screening. What has the life of the film in cinemas or at festivals been like so far? How has it been received, and what have you learned from putting it out into the world?
Well, it's been, I will say, fantastic. We had our world premiere at South by Southwest last year to standing ovations. And it was, you know, that was, you know, lots of tears of joy. Mm-hmm. And it was very exciting because we had Marilyn and Anna Yvette, and we had three of the Monarchs with us, Lupita, Amia, and Diani. And so for them to experience that was really, really exciting. So we've kind of had that experience all along the way. Been able to bring the Monarchs to as many festivals as possible for them to do the Q&As, because it's their story, and the whole point of the organization is to center their experiences. So that's been fantastic, and the way it should be. Yeah, so we've you know, they've gone themselves, I mean, with parents, and then you know, or me. So it's been great. We've played at festivals all across the country. Seattle, we won Audience Award, and then my favorite award actually that we won also at Seattle was Best Film for Families, and the jury were teenagers and tweens.
Oh, cool.
So that was a really meaningful jury award. We've won audience awards also in other places, and we played in Doc NYC and AFI Docs and Traverse City and Nantucket and Hawaii and, you know, places all over the country. It's been incredibly exciting. And yeah, I'm very excited about our screening on the 13th.
Once again, We Are the Radical Monarchs will screen at Images Cinema in Williamstown, Massachusetts on Monday, January 13th at 7 p.m. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Linda Goldstein-Knowlton, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Okay, wait,
we're not too big, and we're not too tough, but when we work together, we've got the right stuff. Go out!